Hi, everybody. Welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host. Back to talk a little bit more Ring of Honor, episode 511, televised on July 3rd. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. Normally, it's my son and I talking about a whole bunch of wrestling on Saturdays, but I've settled into this routine of coming down here on Mondays, recording some Ring of Honor talk. Jack's still not watching it, again, waiting for fans in the stands and whatever else he needs to start watching ROH again. But until then, I'll come down here and talk about it for you guys, with you guys. Love to hear from any of you. If you appreciate some ROH content or anything myself and or my son do, we'd love to hear from you. fnswrestling@gmail.com is our email. fns_wrestling_podcast on Instagram. Or if you're one of the few that listen on YouTube, you can just leave a comment there and I will definitely get back to you. Another super hot day here in Southern Ontario, but mixed in with some crazy thunder showers. Kind of everything's blowing through really quickly, so it's scorching hot with the sun, and then, you know, half an hour later it's pouring rain, and then back to sunny. So a very interesting day. But I don't know what else is new. Just getting ready for the NBA Finals. Big basketball fan, been following that pretty closely. So we're going to get the Phoenix Suns versus the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm rooting for Phoenix. Don't know why, just really enjoying their team. Some restrictions rolling back here in Southern Ontario is getting a little bit closer. I think we're up to being allowed to hang out with 20 people outside, something like that. So it's been nice to just have some people over out in the backyard, trying to get things back to normal. We can go back into malls, but they're very limited in capacity as to how many people they can have in each store. So we did tackle going to a mall, but it wasn't very rewarding because any store that you wanted to go into was lined up outside and you were going to have to wait to get in. So that was kind of short-lived. We did what we needed to and then got the heck out of there really quickly. But I don't know. I figure I don't have much else to talk about, really. And that you're not really here to listen to me yammer on about my life and my boring exploits here. So I figure we could probably start talking about some Ring of Honor. So let's do that now. All right, so this show starts with the usual welcome from Quinn McKay. She then sets up the show highlighting the main event of the Briscoe boys battling each other on their farm. We're told that this match was set up by the Briscoe's father, who hopes that once this match is over, his sons can go back to becoming a functional and dominant tag team. So he's hoping that they just need to confront their issues, fight it out on the farm like they did as kids, and then move on. Quinn then reminds us that Bandido last week won the Survival of the Fittest tournament by outlasting five other men in an elimination match. Bandido will get his Ring of Honor championship match in the future, and we go to footage from just after that match where Bandido, the winner, did speak to Quinn. Quinn and Bandido, they're both really excited. Quinn's jumping up and down. Bandido is speaking Spanish with subtitles. He's really proud to have won this opportunity despite all the issues he had with Flamita along the way. He got put through a table by Flamita early in that match and then sort of had to battle back to win. He then sort of turns to calling out Rush, telling him that he will not waste his opportunity. He will see Rush at Best in the World. And then Quinn and Bandido hug. Bandido leaves the scene, and Quinn's kind of giddy and says that Bandido never disappoints. Really quick promo by Bandido here, but I liked it. Both Quinn and Bandido seemed legitimately excited, and this sort of furthers Bandido as a babyface. And he's also seems to have sort of a friendship with the mega babyface announcer in Quinn McKay. So I think that's a smart move heading into this match because he is facing a humongous heel here, right, in Rush. So building him up as an even stronger babyface makes sense to me. He's dealing with Rush and his entire heel faction, right, who are pretty much guaranteed to get involved in every match that any one of their faction members gets into. So I think ROH is smart to sort of position Bandido the way they have. And I don't know, I'm just sort of thinking out loud. Maybe Mexa Squad needs to reunite. That was Oris and Flamita. Maybe during that match, LFI is going to get involved. Mexa Squad needs to unite in order for the numbers to be sort of even and for Bandido to get somewhat of a fair match. They could also go with Flamita's not done with Bandido, ends up costing him the match, and their feud can sort of springboard from there. I'm not sure what they do, but they do have options, I think. If they want to keep the title on Rush, I guess they can go in another direction. My preference would be that Bandido win the championship. I just think Rush has had it for a long time. He's been a great champion, a strong heel champion, but he's really not around very much lately, and Bandido seems to be here all the time. So to me, it makes sense to put the main championship on somebody that we're going to see on TV and representing the product regularly. And I haven't seen Rouge on TV, and I couldn't tell you how many weeks it's been now. So my choice would be Bandido, but they have options, right? Quinn then talks about Mike Bennett winning a Pure Gauntlet match, and I had forgotten about that. It earned him a shot at the Pure Championship at Best in the World, which is coming up July 11th. So Mike Bennett will face the winner of today's opening match on ROH 511, which is Fred Yehi versus Jonathan Gresham, and that match is coming up now, she tells us. But first, we actually get a Fred Yehi package. Just a quick little thing talking about his journey to ROH, and since being there's kind of been up and down. He had limited success in the Pure tournament. I think he says he won his first round match and then lost. And he's basically a little more detailed, but essentially he's picked up some wins and losses in ROH since then. He says he now has a chance against Jonathan Gresham and talks about how they were trained very early in their careers by the same person. He and Gresham go back a ways. They've trained together. They've competed against each other a ton. The idea being that they're very familiar with each other. They have a similar style, a similar upbringing. So it should be a very even match. He says he will put everything he's learned to use in this match. He'll shake Gresham's hand before and after, but during the match, he will take the championship. I like this promo, especially compared to ones he's done recently. I thought this was serious, straightforward, and realistic, which is most of the time my favorite. Just keep it sort of realistic to get my interest personally. I feel like a few of his previous promos, he's been sort of experimenting with some sort of strange heel character that I couldn't really connect with. This I much prefer. I thought he was pretty good here. Gresham then gets his turn to speak briefly as well. He said he was excited when he learned that Fred Yehi was coming to Ring of Honor. He thought he would have an ally because they know each other and they do go way back. But then Yehi put himself on an island, questioned the integrity of the Pure division. He wants Yehi to stop complaining and just worry about Gresham being the better man and beating him and returning with the title. It will leave Yehi two options. He can join him or shut up and get out of the way. I thought this was pretty good too. Kind of short, serious, intense promo from Gresham. Nothing really fancy, but I don't think everybody's promo has to be fancy, especially if they're not comfortable with that style. Again, this felt realistic. Hey man, I've known you from way back in the day. I was excited to hear you were coming. I thought I'd have a friend and an ally, but you went all weird and got obsessed with some little issue. I think it was someone hitting him with a closed fist in the Pure tournament. So he's kind of gone off the rails. So I kind of like this promo. They did their best to try and bring some instant heat to this match because I needed a little something to make it more interesting, and it did help a little bit. So then we transition actually into their match. Jay Lethal versus Jonathan Gresham for the Pure Wrestling Championship. They do adhere to the code of honor, but Yehi sort of hangs on to the handshake to the point where Gresham kind of lightly kicks his hand free. This match is basically the story, as I said. Two guys super familiar with each other. Started out together, trained together, incredibly evenly matched. We're told they both trained under Mr. Hughes in 2008, and commentary try to tell us that this match is a decade in the making. And when I talk about this match, I'm afraid my description may make it sound like not much happened in this match. That's not really true. I simply don't know the names for all the holds, encounters, and escapes that these guys use. So I drastically summarize the action, but if you're somebody who watches MMA or amateur wrestling and you have a firm grasp, lots of stuff is happening here. It's my own limitation in telling you the stuff that happens. So if you're a person who doesn't necessarily watch ROH and sort of takes my word for it, you may want to go and watch this, especially if you're a fan of this style. So there's lots of holds and counters to start this. As Mike Bennett, who's joined commentary here, talks about Fred Yehi early on, he's gained 17 pounds. And that's helpful as the two are sort of grappling to start this match. They grapple to a stalemate. They both return to their feet. Gresham starts to work Yehi's left arm a little bit, but Yehi quickly escapes. So then Yehi is kind of doing the same. He starts to work Gresham's left arm. Then he quickly transitions to grabbing Gresham's leg, but Gresham escapes quickly and they're back on their feet. Bennett at this point on commentary admits that he is not trained in this style, but will do his best. So I kind of appreciated his self-awareness here, sort of saying that this is not the style of match we can expect when he faces off with the winner of this match, because he's not, this is not his style, right? He's more of a professional wrestling style, and this is more of like an amateur actual holds and counters happening here. So we get more grappling to another stalemate. Caprice Coleman on commentary is kind of shocked that it still hasn't progressed. There's basically been no advantage here. They end up on the floor. holds encounters there to no advantage. Then they sort of stare each other down from not far away. The ref is sort of, you can hear the ref counting them back into the ring as we head to a commercial. We come back. Both men are in the ring now, visibly frustrated after several more minutes of wrestling with no advantage being gained by either man. So there's some more tie-ups to no advantage. They basically end up in this tie-up, kind of battling around the ring ropes, end up in the corner, and then grinding their forearms in each other's faces. Finally, we get a few kicks and strikes. They counter each other into near falls for a little bit. The pace starts to pick up really quickly, but each man is still struggling to gain an advantage here. Then we get an arm drag by Gresham. He looks like he's going to transition into some sort of submission, but then he rolls through, pins Fred Yehi suddenly for the three count, and Gresham does retain the Pure Championship here. Yehi is obviously not happy about this, but he does shake Gresham's hand after Gresham holds the title in Yehi's face, and Yehi sort of knocks it out of the way. They do sort of reluctantly shake hands. And this match, it's tough. This isn't my style of match. I've talked about it before on this show, on our Saturday show. All of the grappling and amateur style, I don't mind when it's sprinkled into matches, but when it is the bulk of the match, sometimes I struggle. I always say that I personally need a decent amount of professional wrestling in matches and not just amateur style. So that being said, I mean, I still enjoyed this match. I thought the facial expressions by both of the men helped to tell the story here. Like, it was an entire match where nobody gets an advantage, and I think that's kind of a bold choice for a match. So that, from that standpoint, I thought it was kind of interesting. They really did get across the idea that these guys are so familiar with each other, and so similar, really, that it was really difficult for anyone to get any sort of advantage. So that means the finish has to come out of nowhere, and it wasn't very exciting. It's basically a roll-up, but it also makes sense because they are so evenly matched that a sudden out-of-the-blue finish kind of makes sense here. Also, I think that, without knowing, but assuming the Briscoe match is going to be a very different style, right? So I think it's kind of a smart choice to put a pure grappling kind of match on to begin, and then we're going to end with what I assume is going to be like an extreme rules sort of lots of weapons, lots of plunder, that kind of thing, big spots. So I would say I enjoyed this match despite the style, because again, it's not my preferred style by any means. So I guess if I don't like the style and I like the match, if you're a fan of that style, I would probably recommend this match because you'll like it more than I did. Both of these men are clearly masters of this craft and this style of wrestling. I respect the work they did here. I enjoyed the kind of story they told. It's unique to basically go, we're going to have an entire match where nobody gets an advantage on anyone. And at the end, it's one guy gets the advantage for 3 seconds, and that's all it takes, right? So that I thought was a pretty cool choice, and it was well executed, but again, not my favorite style of match, but I'm trying to be fair. So Quinn then speaks to Jonathan Gresham right after his win with Fred Yehi backstage. Gresham agrees that Yehi was a formidable opponent, but Gresham is now 10-0, and this division, the Pure division, is his. He showed Fred Yehi what Pure Wrestling is all about, and he proved to be the better man. He suggests that Yehi go get some more training while Gresham holds down the division. Quinn then asks about Gresham's strategy when he faces Mike Bennett at Best in the World. Gresham knows who Bennett is and says Bennett is not honorable, and he has not earned Gresham's respect yet. He wishes Bennett luck entering Gresham's division. Bennett's rise in the Pure division will stop with Gresham. I thought this was another solid, simple promo from Gresham here. I felt like he was leaning a bit heel, maybe to accommodate Mike Bennett, in my opinion, being miscast, but being cast as a babyface so far in his return to ROH. I can't say that I'm personally looking forward to Gresham-Bennett match, but yeah, you guys know me. I have to identify my bias here. I'm not a big fan of babyface Mike Bennett, so I think trying to push Gresham into behaving like a heel and keeping Bennett a babyface is completely backwards. It may take me out of it a little bit, but I did like Bennett here being self-aware and saying that he's not good at this style of wrestling and this probably won't be the style he works against Gresham. So I don't know, I'll give it a chance, obviously, but I can't, if I'm being honest with you, I'm not really looking forward to the match. So we get a quick Best in the World hype package plays, letting us know again it's on July 11th, so that's coming up pretty soon. I'll probably check that out, and I think there might be fans back for that, so Jack may check it out with me, and I may bring him down to sort of add his 2 cents, but you can probably look for a review. I've got some time lately with some vacation from work, so I'll probably find the time to review that for you, so keep your eyes peeled for that, as my mom would say. We then get the Briscoe's father talking about his sons fighting all over the world, but now they need to come home and to the farm and fix things. So the Briscoes basically are still mad at each other from the 500th episode where they had a match, if I remember correctly. And basically they're talking, if they can't get on the same page after this, they may not be able to get on the same page at all. They then sort of talk about some of the crazy things they've done on the farm as kids that they're sort of going to reenact probably with this match. And maybe it's time they do all of it again. They actually show some footage of them as kids fighting on the farm. And I thought it was awesome footage. It was like watching old school Hardys or Young Bucks or whatever, like their backyard. Except these guys had a whole farm to mess around on, right? So very cool footage, I thought, to see. Their dad tells them to get it all out of their system and then start again as the baddest tag team on the planet. So I really like this package. The highlight of it was the footage of the Briscoes as kids. Again, reality for me is the key. If you can link some reality to a feud, to a match in professional wrestling, I'm really happy about it. So they did here. I thought it was really cool. And I mean, honestly, maybe they've used this footage before. I'm sort of a lapsed ROH fan. I've come back since their sort of reboot. I don't remember seeing this footage before. It's entirely possible they used it, but I thought it was really cool here. Because this match, if I'm being honest, right, and I always try to be, I say that a lot, I find, this match doesn't feel very fresh to me. This promo package actually did a little bit to help. At this point, I've made these notes before I sort of saw the match. I was assuming that they would do some crazy things in this match. So let's see if they do. So it's Jay versus Mark Briscoe on the farm. So they get in the ring in, I don't know if it's a barn or some sort of structure on the farm. They get in the ring and their dad is sort of acting as the ref, but there isn't really a ref. He's just kind of there to start the match, I guess. So for this, just to let you know, there's obviously no crowd, there is no commentary, and there is no soundtrack. So they made those choices right when EC3 and Moose faced off in one of the worst matches of last year, I thought. They chose to put a soundtrack underneath it. So this one, there's nothing. You can hear, to start out, man, the sound of the ring through the headphones was a lot to take because there's no other ambient sound. It's just them yelling at each other and the sound of the ring and whatever else. So I thought it was a lot. Took me a while to get used to, but it was fine. So they brawl to start. They end up outside the ring. The dad is already saying that's enough and telling Mark to stop, which I thought was very strange. We're just a couple minutes into this match. They've just been sort of brawling and they move outside the ring and the dad is already reining them in and getting them back in the ring, which I just made a note that the rules on this farm match where there are no rules, I thought, things are being more strictly enforced than any match in AEW, basically. Like the Briscoe dad is doing a better job of, you know, getting these guys to stick to the rules than AEW refs do. So interesting choice, I thought. We get a corner splash, some mounted punches for Mark. Mark then gets pushed off the top through a table onto the floor. A very safe looking, he just tumbles like a somersault onto the table. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay it, but it's not a major spot by an extreme rules or hardcore match or whatever you want to call it. By those standards, it's a pretty safe fall through a table. He can kind of just guide himself through it at that point. They fight out the door and onto the lawn now. Trash can lid to Mark, and we get a disclaimer in the lower third telling us not to try this at home. That would pop up a couple times throughout this match. There's a small wash tub there, so it gets picked up, and Jay uses it to hit Mark, and then Jay pulls a sheet of plywood out of the back of the pickup truck and kind of leans it against the tailgate of the truck and the ground. So obviously Mark gets suplexed through the plywood as we head to a commercial break. And I put here in my notes that at some point I'll try and make a note of some of the commercials I get. There are some really weird commercials during ROH. Like one, for example, is basically an ad for a class action suit against the Catholic Church if any of their officials have done inappropriate things to you, which is on every week, that commercial, and some other weird ones. Maybe at some point I'll add those to my notes because it's pretty interesting. So anyways, back to the match story. Mark leans a ladder against a motorhome that's parked nearby, climbs on top of the motorhome. Jay hops up, taunts Mark, basically saying, haha, what are you going to do now? You can't jump on me because I got up. Mark basically calls, it says if he's not afraid, then he should come up and join him on top of the motorhome. So Jay does. There's a strike exchange on top of the motorhome. And eventually Mark gets thrown off and lands on a tarp that was covering something clearly suitable to land on if you got thrown off a motorhome. Again, I don't want to sound like I don't want these guys to work safe and that I want them to put themselves at risk, because I don't. But I mean, this didn't look like it hurt. Like, I usually say I don't want to do any of this stuff. This I might do, depending on what was under there, because it looked pretty, maybe cardboard boxes or something to land on. So it looked kind of fun almost. Jay then drags Mark over to the pickup truck, puts him in the back, and then hops in and drives off with his brother in the back. When he stops, of course, Mark is no longer in the back. Jay then gets surprised by a forearm from his brother. Mark finds a sign nearby, hits Jay with it. Mark then finds a rope, strangles Jay with that, and then hits him, Jay one more time with the sign that he had, and brings Mark over to a table that's set up there. He places Jay on the table. Mark climbs onto the nearby structure. It's a big structure. He's up on the roof. He hits a splash off the roof of this through his brother and the table. And I have to admit, I'm saying some of the spots look pretty safe and tame. This one was pretty nuts. There's no way to make this feel good. So this was the high spot of the match for sure. So their dad walks up, asks if they're good yet and if they're done. He helps both of his sons to their feet, tells them to get back in the ring. He helps them walk back to the ring, kind of with supporting both of them, and it takes far too long to just walk back to the ring here. We get a strike exchange once we're finally back in the ring, and their dad just keeps yelling, "You good yet?" over and over again. Jay finally says he's good, but then he strikes his brother again, and they keep fighting a little bit longer. We get a clothesline by Mark, both men are down, and they finally say that they're good. So that's the match, it's done. The dad says it's time to get back to the business of being the baddest tag team in the world, but first, clean this place up. And that's basically the show. So the match ends when they say it ends. There was no pin, there was no winner. That was a problem in the EC3 and Moose match as well. It was just kind of over. So I guess they fought until all the fights out of them and they're over it and they can work together. So I mean, that's fine, I suppose. This match, man, I mean, it's a lot of basic brawling to get to a location, or even driving to a location, which for me isn't very exciting, right? It's punch, 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 walk, walk, walk over to this thing that's set up for us to do something on. I'm sure these two guys had fun making this, but at the end of the day, this was a really simple no DQ, hardcore, extreme rules, whatever you want to call it match. I mean, do I want to do this stuff myself? Probably not. But was the stuff they did creative, dangerous looking that I haven't seen a million times before? Not really. Outside of that jump off the roof, that was pretty cool. But every other spot was honestly pretty standard. Suplex through a piece of plywood, jump through a table, nothing really crazy. Basic brawling in between. So I was not a big fan of this match. I thought it was kind of boring. I was hoping they were going to pull off something more entertaining. Again, I don't want them to hurt themselves, but they had this farm at their disposal. They have a camera crew. I had some higher expectations for this. I wasn't really entertained, to be honest, for the most part. Luckily, their character work, they're funny in their characters, so that kind of helps, but I did not find this match very engaging, I have to admit, so not great, in my opinion. The show overall was a tough one for me to rate, if I really want to be fair about it. Neither match style, right, would rank anywhere near the top of my list, so the show starts off kind of behind the eight ball, as they say. I did end up enjoying the opener, and again, if you like realistic grappling, then you may like it a lot more than I did. The main event was an Extreme Rules match to me that are rarely my favorite. Personally, I felt like the build to the match itself was kind of lazy. It was kind of like, hey, nothing for the Briscoes to do right now. Have them face each other again. And the match kind of felt the same. Like the guys took the afternoon on their farm to film this, set up one really big spot at the end, a few sort of small, safe-ish ones in between. And then no real wrestling, just punchy, kicky up until you get to the spot you've set up. I didn't think it was very good, but again, I'm not an Extreme Rules fan, so other people might like this much better than I did. I'm going to try to be fair in my overall grade. I won't say this was a bad episode, but I really don't think it was particularly good. I was leaning towards a C+, to be honest, but I think my own biases are coming in a little bit here, because again, I don't like full-on amateur grappling matches or Extreme Rules matches, and that's what I got. So I'm going to bump them up just to sort of counter my own bias. I'm going to say it was a B- show. Watchable, nothing amazing that I would tell anyone to rush out and see, but not bad at the end of the day, I guess. A watchable program, a B-. So that brings us to the end of Ring of Honor 511 from July 3rd. Just like to thank anybody that spends any time with me listening to me talk about wrestling. I really do appreciate it. I would love to hear from any of you any kind of feedback, positive, negative, as long as it's constructive. I really don't care. It'd be great to hear from anyone that's listening to this. So really appreciated. I think the next thing we're going to be recording will be episode 51, which will be coming up on Saturday. If you haven't checked that out, we'll talk about NXT, AEW, Impact Wrestling, some news, some trivia, and my son's passion is talking about wrestling figures, any new series that are coming out, any series that are hinted at coming out, etc., etc. So that's how we'll end that show generally. We'd love to have you join us on Saturday if you haven't already. Really appreciate it if you tell a wrestling fan you know about us. We don't know how to promote ourselves. It's literally my wife on Facebook just trying to get us some people to listen. We're really having fun doing what started out as a hobby, and now we're just kind of in the habit of doing it, so we'd like to keep doing it. So thanks to anybody for supporting us. We really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you guys back here on Saturday for the main show. And until then, take care.